Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Okay. With today, we're going to talk about a topic that I think is overcomplicated, but it's a lot more simple than we make it. In Romans 8, it talks about walking in the Spirit. Now, we can overcomplicate this matter, but we're going to show it through Scripture. It's quite simple. I'll give you the spark notes of what we're talking about today. If you don't read your Bible, you can't know the will of God for your life. Which means you can't walk in the Spirit. Which means you can't fulfill your purpose that God has planned in your life if you stay out of His Scriptures. I love Sundays. I love Wednesdays. I'll say this up top. There is not a message deep enough that can be preached on this earth right now by any pastor living that can excuse you from not reading your Bible. There's not one. And if you believe there is, you've been lied to. We have to, when I eat food, I eat every day. I love eating. I have to eat things I don't want to eat sometimes. And I get to eat some things I do want to eat. I get both. That's what reading your Bible's like. It really is. You got to chew on some stuff. You're like, I really don't like hearing that I need to forgive my enemies. And not just forgive them, but I have to pray for them. But I do enjoy hearing about the love of God and how much I've been forgiven. It's like egg whites and a Snicker bar. It's kind of, it's both and. So I'm going to start with this quote. Because when we talk about reading our Bible, a lot of people can disqualify themselves. This actually comes from a famous Catholic theologian. This is Augustine of Hippo. I'm used to saying Augustine, so sometimes I struggle with his name. But Augustine of Hippo. Augustine of Hippo said this. He said, "The Bible is shallow enough for children to wade in, yet deep enough for elephants to swim." And so I remember in college, especially I was in the theology department, and a lot of people would debate. They would hate the guys that were super evangelical because they thought they were too topical, but then the evangelical dudes didn't like the ultra-theological guys because they shot over everyone's head so much. And so because the deeper guys would go, "Oh, you're too topical, there's richness, there's depth to the word," and then the guys who were kind of just topical, "We got to go save souls," were like, "You're shooting too deep, people can't read at that level." Here's the thing, the Bible's for both. If Jesus just came for intellectuals, then he didn't actually come from the world. But also, if he just came for topical knowledge, then also he didn't come for the world. He came for both. People come at the Bible with different understandings. One of the most wonderful volunteers I ever encountered in youth ministry he was dyslexic, so he would listen to the Bible by audio. God's not like, "You're listening, so it doesn't count." Come on, really. It's people, we get in fits over stupid arguments, over just like, it's not deep enough, or it's too deep. If people who come against each other on either side are wrong. They're wrong. Because there are some people, a scripture at a time, and the chewing on of the word, and they have a depth and a relationship with the Lord, and they love God, and there's a richness to them, and they've never had any theological training. I know them. There are women in this church that have been here for decades that love God. They've never had any homiletics or hermeneutics or theological training, and there is no doubt in my mind that they love God, and they understand the scriptures. And then there are men and women that go depth and go through the commentaries and the word studies and just the richness of all the things that God shows in the scriptures and the parallels, and that also has blessed both work, and there should not be criticism about either. That's petty. It really is. It's petty because, and so And honestly, remember, Scripture says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So some people are like, well, we're reaching souls, so I don't really need to get that deep. And some people are so deep that they're reaching no one. Both are wrong. Both. There's depth and there's also simplicity. Children can wade in, elephants can swim. So when we talk about reading your Bible, which is literally the whole point of this message, read your Bible. When we talk about, that's it. I gave you spark notes. Some of you are going to conk out and fall asleep in the back. We already have blankets. And the other side, that we already have blankets, which they're bright, so we know if you steal them. you guys think I'm laughing, but one time there was 50 missing. So we had to color them bright so we can see you walking out with it. Just remember, when you write a comment on I Love Conroe, you're wrapped in your Ark Church blanket while you're at it. Hey, if this message goes wrong, maybe I get to be on that post. So with that, we have to remember, like, don't disqualify you from reading your Bible, but God came for everyone. And Timothy, remember, he desires that all men be saved. He came for everybody. Which means you can understand your Bible at the pace in which you understand. Not to be insecure in any such way. So with this in Romans 8, 1, we have to keep this also in the lens. This is the rose-colored lens we have to keep about today. It says, there is now, therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. No condemnation. That's in the Scriptures. It's the truth of the Scriptures. We have to know it. Now, here's the difference, because many of us, correction and condemnation go hand in hand based on a lot of times the family or the coaching or the teaching you've been brought up under. But God is not like us. He's different. See, with correction, I see improvement. In fact, in the Greek, we're going to get later into the message, you're going to see the word correction actually in translated in Greek to improvement. With definition, the difference is condemnation does not improve your life, it destroys it. So you can take a word that should be helpful and it gets twisted. And it twists the truth. Don't think that things can't get twisted. In Matthew 4, when the enemy appears before Jesus, he uses Scripture to try to twist it. So condemnation can be the truth that is twisted to where instead of improving and correcting something, you sink deeper. So we have to remember when correction comes and when I'm reading the word and it's revealing things unto me, God is helping me. He's correcting me. He's not sinking me lower. He's not. He's aware of my sin. If he wasn't, then what's the whole point of Jesus? What's the whole point of the cross? It's a very loud, you're not okay. You need help. I'll help. And do more than you ask, think, or imagine. Ephesians 3. So Romans 8, that's the context we're reading. Romans 5 through 8, let's talk about walking in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit, we're going to show that we have to get in our word to walk in the Spirit. So let's read those passages. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life in peace. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are literally, not figuratively, you are literally considered a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come. You are considered born again. There is spiritual birth within you, new life. So now the desires of this world, the things that do not testify of the goodness of God and who he is, in fact, the quite opposite, how you were raised, whatever background it is, doesn't matter. You are now a new life. You have a new life. You are new from the inside out. And the Holy Spirit, which is God's presence, dwells within you, which in the end of Matthew said, he will not leave you nor forsake you, meaning he stays with you. Your feelings might not, his presence will. So his presence is with us at all times. If I live and walk in the Spirit, what that means is I'm walking and living it according to how God's will is in my life, what it is. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's God's voice in us. It's this still small voice, like it says in 1 Kings 18. There is a steadiness of that. I'm not just making decisions and wondering if God accepts or blesses them. I'm seeking God in my decisions. This is a reverse thought process. I'm seeking God for my decisions. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I need to know the will of God. I need to know the will of God. How do I know the will of God? Scripture testifies of this. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12 first. In Hebrews 4:12, it says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Meaning that the word of God discerns the difference between my voice and his. It discerns the difference between, you have to think about this, I'm going to do some real quick New Testament Greek study without boring anyone. Soul, heart, mind, and soul are used interchangeably in the New Testament. You're talking about the same thing. So the heart, mind, the soul, you're talking about the same thing, same context. So really, you could put mind there and it would work. The piercing the vision of your mind and the spirit. So I am now seeing the difference when I read God's word. It's cutting. It's showing the difference between my own thoughts and God's thoughts. It's showing the difference between my will and his own for my life. But if I don't read, it will not cut. If I don't read, I can't discern. This is why people come and they try to get discernment solely through worship and prayer, but they haven't been cut. They haven't been able to discern the difference between their feelings and the voice of the Lord, because it's in God's word I start to hear his voice. It's in God's word I start to see how different it is from my own. It's in God's word I start to know truth. This is confirmed in Romans 12:2. Let me show you right here. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I renew my mind, not on the ways in which I used to think, but on how God thinks and what his will is for my life. How do I easily understand his will and how he thinks? His word. How do I discern between my own thoughts and his thoughts? His word. It testifies it of, we just saw, it testifies that of itself. That the word itself is what renews your mind, because you start to see what God says and how he says it. And when you receive it, you start receiving things contrary to what you've said about yourself and your own life. That is renewing your mind. You're thinking different because you are understanding how God thinks. But I don't understand how God thinks if I don't read. I don't feel close to the Lord if I don't listen to him. I can't listen to him if I'm not reading. I'm not familiar with how he talks and speaks if I'm not in God's word. That's how Christians get very strange, because we know that he moves through the Holy Spirit. We know he speaks to us in worship and in prayer, but it's always in agreement with his word, not contradiction with it. But if I don't know God's word, if I haven't received it deep within me, I can get something weird and off and strange. And here's the thing. I need the word every day. I eat every day. I said this in the beginning. I eat every day. I need to know the difference of how God views my life and my decisions from my own. That is an everyday thing. And what that does is, I don't come to church and I don't get super upset if the message isn't tailored for me, because he's speaking to me every day of the week. And can I be very, very blunt here? I've heard this in four different churches and in multiple different denominations over the last 15, almost 20 years of my entire life. There's always somebody that says, well, the message doesn't have enough meat. And I've heard very different teaching styles and very different depth. And I've heard the same kind of thing where someone goes, oh, the message doesn't have enough meat. I'm going to be honest. If you're not reading, they'll never have enough meat. Never. There's not a message that in any church you could pick that there's going to be enough meat to cover you the whole week and all its trials and tribulations. Thanksgiving alone with your extended family. You think a message is going to just one? don't need to be full. Honest, like really. Some people, they want messages that just punch, and it's hard. And you know what? There are pastors that are gifted in that. But if I just have a little bit of an antidote against it, just for a second, I think some people want a very direct, hard message sometimes because they're not getting in their word. And I'm going to show you why. I think they want it cutting, and they want it because if you're not being cut by God's word, you're expecting the message to be the only thing that cuts you. So they're like, oh, I want it straight and forward. And styles are that it. They're styles. Here's what's great. The word of God is so good, you can receive from anyone, even a fool. So you can receive from a fool and still receive truth and not make a big deal out of the fool, because sometimes we make a deal out of the pastor, and that's called idol worship, and it'll fail you. And anything that's happened good in any church or any ministry or any message has come rooted from the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit through his word. It always goes back to the same thing. Always goes back to the same thing. I can't get stronger. I don't grow closer to the Lord unless I start to hear his voice constantly. And how I hear his voice constantly is I read his word. I read his word. In John 8, 31 through 32. Excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting excited. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. This is a New King James Version. 2 Timothy 3. We'll prove this. All scripture is given by inspiration. Some of your translations say breath. And it's which meaning it's life. It's profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given of inspiration to God. Let me just break this down. Profitable for doctrine, which means teaching. For reproof, which means conviction or exposing. For correction, which means improvement. For instruction in righteousness, which means disciplines in the right and moral standard of God. So if I read that again, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for conviction, for improvement, and for disciplines in the right and moral standard of God, that you may be equipped, meaning I cannot accomplish God's will for my life without his word because I am not equipped. I don't know how I am equipped. I don't know what he's truly saying to me. I don't understand his full will until I get into his word. And in his word, he teaches me, he corrects me, he disciplines me in a healthy, loving way. If this is a loving God, then correction is not a problem. And it is done with grace and truth. If this is a hammer and fist kind of God, then it should be something we're afraid of, but we are not. I see one in love and grit and mercy, because remember the first scripture we read, that we are not condemned. But scripture also says he loves whom he corrects. Condemnation and correction are not the same thing. It's for an improvement. Meaning if someone preaches super happy the love of God, because remember the gospel's called the good news. So ultimately it is happy and loving regardless of our opinions. It doesn't bother me as much because on a day-to-day basis, I'm getting corrected. I'm getting changed. You know why I'm not as concerned if someone preaches about sin nature? Because if I'm reading my Bible, I'm aware. I know. If someone has to preach for you to know about how flawed you are, you're not in this. You're not. Really. We're looking for the punches to come through the exhortation of the word, which in time they do. But if you read your word, it'll come. It'll come, but you'll also see something maybe you've never seen before. It'd be the most loving correction you've ever had. It'll change you from the depth of your own soul. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide, which means to continue, in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Some people think correction is bondage and how bad you are doing, but actually it is freedom. Condemnation is bondage. Sin is bondage. It considered slavery within Scripture. But when I know the truth of Scripture, when I read God's Word, I see how free I am. But I don't know how free I am until I get in God's Word. And I need to know how free I am in the midst of the trials of life. I need to know the freedom I have in Jesus. I need to know that I'm above and not beneath, head and not the tail. That by His stripes I have been healed. I didn't just receive that from preaching. I got it in His Word and the death of my own soul when everything within me screamed otherwise. And I read His Scripture and saw, oh, I don't think like the Lord. And thank God He thinks better of me than I do. And thank God He's merciful and kind. Do you understand that some of you are afraid of correction? But it's freedom. It's freedom. And what's great is you've already been set free, but you don't know what you've been set free from until you read. On June 19th, and God bless the person that politicizes this next comment. Lord, help you. But June 19th, 1865, is known as Juneteenth in the black community. Juneteenth is celebrating the last known group of slaves in America. We're told that they have been set free. This was happening in Galveston, Texas. This is right down our way. The crazy part is, the Emancipation Proclamation happened 2.5 years earlier, meaning they have been free the whole time. No one told them. You don't act like a free man until you know you're a free man. And in Scripture, there's so many people I pray for on Sundays and students. They don't know how free they are. They don't know what Jesus has done. And I'm so glad He's so merciful with us, because when you get in your Word, even if it's just a little at a time, you will know how free you are. And you will know what bondage you came from. And you will look at your life and yourself different. It's already been proclaimed. It's already in here. But you don't know the truth. You won't act like a free, born-again Christian. You will be free, but not act free. You have to know for yourself. Children to wade in, elephants to swim, at whatever pace or level is necessary. Know the truth. And I need to know the truth every day, because Scripture says I've been free since I received Jesus every day. When my daughter was born with some complications, many, with physical ones. And we had an unexpected time in the NICU, and I didn't do too hot. And I went through pure panic. So 3 years later, we're having to get a surgery. The Lord had kind of warned us there was bad news coming in a Scripture that my wife was reading one day. And so we had to go down to Texas Children. It was around Christmas time. And we were having surgery on her spine. She had a tethered spinal cord and a hematoma. And she had curvatures in her spine that the tethered spinal cord was causing. For months, we had known this is coming. This is very hard. She's 3 years old. And this is a massive surgery. And we were on a Tuesday all-staff prayer. And I was actually in this section around right here. I was walking in that section. And I was praying. And I believe in the goodness of God, but you know what I'm talking about, where you're just like, man, this is heavy. And what came to me is a verse, I'll never forget where I was standing. It's out of Isaiah. I didn't even remember it was from Isaiah. The Lord just kind of stilly spoke it to me, and it went, you'll go through flames and not smell like smoke. And if you know that verse, that comes from Isaiah 43, but it's referencing Daniel 3, which is the story I grew up hearing many times as a child, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through a fiery furnace. And when they came out of the furnace, they didn't smell like smoke. And if you really know the story, you know there was a fourth man in the furnace, and that was the Son of God. And so when I got that little bit of Scripture for an absolutely horrendous thing that was outside of my own control that I did not want to go through. And I knew we had to, that you would go through fire and not smell like smoke. It dropped in my heart. And I knew it was from the Lord. I didn't even remember the last time I read it, but I knew I read it. And it dropped in me, and I felt this, the Lord is with me. And in tears, he's with me. So we go to the procedure room, and many months later, my wife told me that she had moments where she felt a little panicky, and she said, but I looked at you, and you seemed very calm. You seemed okay. It was very different than when we were at the NICU. You seemed still, and I knew I could lean on you in that time. The only reason I felt still and okay is because I got something from God's word. I say this to our students a lot, but some people are looking for emotions. You're looking for a grand thing, and yes, there are emotions, and yes, there are physical feelings that come with the presence of God, but we need his word. I knew that too, but I was like, my baby's going to get surgery. I need something more stable than a fleeting emotion. I need something that'll carry me through panic and pain. And his word got in me, and that truth set me free to where I'm in a waiting room and I'm okay. I'm perfectly fine because I got it in his word. And here's what's crazy. I don't even remember the last time I had read it, but I read it, which is encouragement for some of you in here. You think your reading plan isn't feeding you, but you also don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming in life, that actually you're storing up things within you that you think you're reading passages that don't apply until you pray for someone that's hurting, or you go through it your own self, or you know within joy, like Psalm 126:5 says, that he who sows in tears will reap shouts of joy, that you get it in your spirit another time in your life. You are wasting nothing seeking the will of God, and we seek the will of God in his word, and we know his word, we know the truth, and we know the truth. We're free, and there are too many experiences in this life, and there's too many people in pain in this church, that you can't tell me, yes, just don't read, it's whatever. It's important. It grounds you. It anchors your soul. It's the voice of God right under your nose, right here. And in due time, you'll bring it to your remembrance. You'd be so grateful you spent time with the Lord. I have yet to find a Christian that is bitter of the time they spent with God. I've heard Christians bitter from all kinds of things, but the one thing I have not heard is, oh, the Lord, I wasted all this time with him. No, you didn't. Life might have punched you every way before today came. And you might not be seeing the fruit of what you're believing in, but it does not say that the word isn't true. It does not, the life might show contradictory of what you're reading, but in due time, the fullness of his word will come to pass. We will know the Father in eternity in peace and in joy, celebrating with him, ruling and reigning, like it says in Revelation 21. So whether I see the fullness of what I believe here in this life, I know in due time, I will see the fullness of it. It will come to pass. God has worked many miracles in my life, and he has confirmed it in his word. I cannot walk in the spirit. I cannot grow in maturity unless I read God's word. If I want to act free and know I'm free and not be beat and pistol whipped every which way that life is trying to do so in the midst of whatever I'm going through, I need his word, because in that's where I see his goodness. That's where I'm reminded of my own faults and God's greatness. Because remember, Paul's also the same man that said, I boast in my weakness, because that's where God is made great. Read Romans 8 real quick. Look at how he speaks. This is what a man who's walking the Spirit. This is a man who's been transformed in his own mind. This is a man that's seen God do something. Look at how he talks at the end of this chapter. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a renewed mind. This is a man that knows he's free. Mind you, he was put in prison multiple times, shipwrecked and beaten, and he's talking like this because this is revelation he got from the Lord. This guy used to put Christians in prison. This is a renewed mind. This is someone who knows he's free. This is like no matter what happens in life, he knew the love of God. Nothing can rip you from the love of God. And you can hear it preached with all the compassion and love in the world, but until you read your Bible, you won't know it in your soul, but you can. But you can. I'll end like this. 1 Corinthians 12, there's a little small passage. Real quick. I felt like saying this in second service. I didn't say it in first. 1 Corinthians 12, it says something. It says, the Lord puts members in the body as he sees fit. Meaning God has a place for you in the body of Christ. This church might not be your cup of tea. That doesn't offend us. That's not. We are for the Big C church. We are for the body of Christ. If this is not your fit, that's fine. But let me be encouraged to you. Go where the Lord has placed you. And don't leave until he moves you. Until he moves you. Not when you get bored. Not when you don't like the messages. Not when the songs aren't your style. Not when someone offends you. Because it will happen. If not here, somewhere else. No, that's true. We're flawed. We make mistakes. A lot. Go where the Lord leads you. Do you know how we get and we understand his word? People will do stupid things, y'all. I go back to his word and it anchors me. I get bored. I go back to his word and he reminds me of his goodness. I get hurt or I get confused. Go back to his word. It refreshes me. You know, if you're a real Houstonian, this is how I feel about it. If you're in Houston, you'll understand how much this means. It feels like a cool breeze, no humidity on a hot day. Like... Yeah, hey, no humidity, a cool breeze. I mean, that's heaven on earth for me. I'm serious. That's how I view the word of God in my life. When his word gets in me, it feels like that. I go, oh, amazing. And that's not a pastor thing. That's a Christian thing. And remember, scripture says he desires that all men be saved. So that can be all of us. So let's bow and close our eyes. Father, I pray for everything that is not of you be sifted away from this own message in this time. That everything that is of you stay in the hearts of the hearers. Develop in revelation in greater time. We pray a blessing. They're going in, they're going out. Now, we do this every service, and it's important. Some need to come back to know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Romans 10 says to confess and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Very simple. So, whether a conviction in your own heart, you feel like you need to do that, or again, that's between you and God. We have this time where we bow our heads, close our eyes to say private. But this time, if that's you, just so we know we're praying with, I want you to raise your hand, just as a step. If that's you and you need to come back to the Lord, or you need to come to Jesus for the first time, raise your hand. I see you, and I see you too. I see some. Yeah, I see you. We're going to confess as a church with you. We're going to do this as a community. So repeat after me. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. And I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.